Today in Health IT, we're going to talk a little bit about negotiating your salary. My name is Bill Russell. I'm a former CIO for a 16 hospital system and creator of This Week Health, a set of channels and events dedicated to transform healthcare one connection at a time. We want to thank our show sponsors who are investing in developing the next generation of health leaders, notable ServiceNow, Enterprise Health, Parlance, Certify Health, and Panda Health. Check them out at thisweekhealth.com/today. I would normally say this story and every news story that we cover is on thisweekhealth.com/news, and it is, but it's Friday, so it's my chance to just riff on some things I've been talking to people about this week. But if you get a chance, check out that site. It's curated news just for you. One last thing, share this podcast with a friend or colleague. Use it as a foundation for daily or weekly discussions on the topics that are relevant to you and the industry. They can subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. All right, today I'm going to ramble a little bit about, I led off with, this is about negotiating your salary and understanding and really knowing your value as an employee. I'll tell you where this came up. It came up in a conversation 2 days ago with Sarah Richardson, and she did an article on the maternal tax, that is women deciding to have children in the middle of their career, taking a year or two off and generally get paid, I think it was 76 cents, if not 74 cents, compared to the fathers in that same category. And the fathers, obviously, I don't know the exact study, but my guess is that the fathers don't take the time off. The mothers do take the time off to care for the child. And because of that, they end up losing out on 25% of the salary. And so I started thinking about that. And I don't really want to approach this from a female perspective and tell women what they're doing wrong. That doesn't seem like the right thing to do this week after the Chiefs kicker got up there and did his commencement speech. I'm going to do this more generally. I will probably refer to some of the challenges that women face in negotiations. And if I err on the side of saying too much, show me a little grace, let me know what I did wrong, and I will correct it moving forward. I will say this about women in negotiations. Women in negotiations generally don't ask for enough money. Like up front, you don't ask for enough money. It's either you don't know your value or you have undervalued yourself in the marketplace. I'm giving you 15 years of hiring experience. Generally, when I sit across from a woman, I have a number in mind and they will generally give me a number that's far less than the number I have in mind. Now, as I matured in my career, I've had the privilege of saying to women when they say, I would like to make $60,000. I'd say, I can't pay you that. I need to pay you 80. And they would be giddy. But the reality is that's what they're worth. That's what the pay scale was. They just didn't know what they were worth and what their value is. So a little advice, and this goes for men and women, anyone who's in the negotiation, the person who mentions the number first loses. I will always ask, what do you want to get paid? But your response should never be a number. Your response should always be, I believe I can do the job. I think I'm very qualified for the job. I trust that you're going to pay a good salary for this position. I can't tell you the number of times, both with men and women, that I had a number in mind and their number was lower than my number. And if they had not said a number, I probably would have offered them $5,000, $10,000 more if they had not said a number. So the first thing I will say to you is just do not mention the number. And it might aggravate the person across from you, but at the end of the day, it's going to serve you better to not mention the number first. This is true in life. It's not just salary negotiations. Don't mention the number first. A lot of times you'll be surprised at what you hear. Let the other person mention the number first. That's the first thing. The second thing I would say is know your value. The men tend to overstate their value. Women tend to understate their value. And I know that's a generalization again, but I've talked to Jamie Nelson, and I had a conversation about this, and it's on the show. You can go back and listen to her show where we talked about the fact that in job roles, that there will be 10 qualifications for a job, and a man will meet 3 of those qualifications and apply for the job because, of course, they are qualified. They'll figure out, they can do the 3 and they'll figure out the other 7. Whereas a woman, if she has three of those qualities or even five of those qualities, she will assume that she can't do that job and she won't apply for the job because she doesn't have all of the qualities of that job. So let's just start there. Nobody expects you to have the skills to do everything on that list that people put together for job descriptions is a wish list. It's, we hope we find somebody who has all of these 10 things. And if we do, that is like, we have hit the mother load. We are so excited that we found somebody who has all 10 of those things. Now, I will say this, there are very technical jobs where there are very specific things that you do need to know. And there could be 10 things. If you're going to be an infrastructure engineer, there are 10 things listed, and you really do need to know those at some level in order to do the job. But if we're talking like analyst jobs, management jobs, those kinds of things, a lot of times those, that's a wish list and there's give on that. And they might look at make the hiring manager tell you, hey, you have 7 of the 10, or you have 6 of the 10, or you have 5 of the 10. So that's one of the things. So apply for jobs if you think you can do it, not based on all of the things that they list in there. So that's one thing. The other thing is to know your value. How do you know your value? How do you know the value of the job? There's a lot of tools out there to do the research. Quite frankly, you could ask ChatGPT. It'll probably give you a range for certain jobs. Keep in mind that there's different markets, although that's starting to dwindle more and more as we do remote work. And so if you work for a company in California, but you live in Alabama, should you get paid Alabama rates or California rates? Good question. I don't really know the answer to that, but my guess is they're going to give you California work and expect you to produce California level quality of work. So you might as well get paid California rates. So with that being said, just take some of that stuff into account. But there's just tons of information out there. Open Doors, a source of that information. A lot of times you just search job listings and see what the salary range is for certain roles and get an idea. But again, keep in mind the regions, keep in mind the industry that you're working in and those kinds of things. A lot of health systems shoot to be in a percentile, in the top 75th percentile, top 60th percentile. Almost no one shoots to be in the top 2% of payers, of salary in the industry, but most shoot to be competitive. And so they shoot to be in the 75th percentile. So if you're looking outside the industry at certain rates, that might not be as applicable as inside the industry. So as much as you can get rates that are inside the industry, but know your value, know the value of the role, know the value that you bring to the job. Also, try to figure out what the intrinsic value is that you bring to a role. And this is where, if someone has stayed home to be a mom for 2 years, to make the assertion that they have not progressed in their career is incorrect. They have developed a whole host of skills that can be used in the workplace and can be used very effectively in the workplace. Understand what those intrinsic skills are. Understand the skills that you're developing, even on a day or a month or a year when you're not working in the workplace. You may not have advanced in your epic training and your epic skills, but you may have advanced in your leadership skills, your organization skills. Understand your intrinsic value and the things that you bring and how that can be applied. Also, understand the limited value of that knowledge. I understand this system within healthcare. That knowledge is good for about 2 years or 3 years until the next system or the next release or the next thing comes along. You can learn that stuff. We can train you to learn that stuff. Now, if you're going from nothing to something, that's a longer training cycle. But if you're already trained on it, you've already worked in it, and you've just taken 2 years off, it's not that hard for you to get back up to speed. So, understand your intrinsic value, understand your actual value to the organization or the role's value to the organization. Do not mention a number first. These are just some things that I throw out in a short 10-minute Today show, but I want to speak real quick to hiring managers and CIOs. And that is, I was talking to a CIO today, and they've done the work of looking at the pay of their entire staff and looking at it from an equity lens. Now, at St. Joe's, I was required to do that every 2 years. I think it was every 2 years. I was required to do that. Like, I had to look at the pay equity. And it's hard to maintain because you're hiring new people and they're going to come in and they're going to want to make more money. And you may be required to pay them more based on inflation and other things that are going on or competitiveness of certain roles. You may have to pay them more, which throws your thing out of whack. You're not all of a sudden going to take everybody and increase their pay scale to a certain amount because you're going to ruin your budget within IT. But the thing I want to point out here is this is good work to do. It is good work to do. It is the right thing to do, to be looking at that every 2 years. And if you're looking at it every 2 years instead of every 5 years, you're going to find less discrepancy that you have to deal with. And by the way, there are times where you look at the salary that a person wants to make and you say no, because it will throw the things out of whack within your organization. So you're constantly looking to promote pay equity amongst your organization, but you're also looking not to throw it out of whack as much as possible. There, and if you have to throw it out of whack for a certain skill set, think of selective outsourcing, think of using contractors, because that could be just for a period of time that you need that skill or those things. There's a lot of different strategies you can use around that. Anyway, this is a touchy subject. I don't know how this is going to be taken, but you guys know where to reach me, bill@thisweekhealth.com. Have any questions, concerns, comments? Feel free to shoot them my way. Friday is a time for me to just talk about some of the things I've been talking to people around the industry. It was either this or my plan for how I would take down Epic if a venture capital firm came to me and threw a bunch of money at me and said, how would you create the next EHR? I'll do that another Friday. I'll play around with that topic. That'll be a fun one. All right, that's all for today. Don't forget, share this podcast with a friend or colleague. Use it as a foundation for mentoring. We want to thank our channel sponsors who are investing in our mission to develop the next generation of health leaders, notable ServiceNow, Enterprise Health, Parlance, Certify Health, and Panda Health. Check them out at thisweekhealth.com/today. Thanks for listening. That's all for now.